Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giriradhari Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giriradhari Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giriradhari Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Asatarsata Sri Sri Mad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaur Premananda All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening, Text 32. Ato paprishya salilam pranam Ayamya Vagetaha Jayam Jajapa Virajam Brahma Jyoti Sanatanam Atopasprishya Salilam Pranan ayam vagyataha Jayan jajapa virajam Brahmajyoti Sanatanam. Atopa Sprishya Salilam. Pranayam Yavagyataha. Dhyanjajapa Virajam. Brahmajyoti Sanatanam. Atopa Sprishya Salilam. Pranayam Yavagyataha. Dhyanjajapa Virajam. Brahmajyoti Sanatanam. Atopa Sprishya Salilam. Pranamayam Yavagyataha. Jayam Jajapa Virajam. Brahmajyoti Sanatanam. Atopa Sprishya Salilam. Jayan Jajapa Virajam. Brahmajyoti Sanatanam. Vaishnavis. Oh, disappeared. Jodhpanshishya salivam. Dayam japta pakirajam. Brahmajyoti sanatanam. Ata thereafter. Upasprishya. Touching or taking bath in water. Salilam. Water. Pranayamya. Practicing trance. Vakyataha. Controlling speech. Jayan. Meditating. Jajapa, chanted within the mouth. Virajam, pure. Brahma, Gayatri hymns. Jyotihi, effulgence. Sanatanam, eternal. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Thereafter, the Brahmin took his bath in the water and controlled his speech by practicing trance, meditating on the eternal effulgence, and chanting the holy Gayatri hymns within his mouth. Purport. As one has to take bath after using the toilet, so one has to wash himself with water after sexual intercourse, especially when at a forbidden time. Kashyapa Muni meditated on the impersonal Brahmajyoti by chanting the Gayatri mantra within his mouth. When a Vedic mantra is chanted within the mouth so that only the chanter can hear, the chanting is called japa. But when such mantras are chanted loudly, it is called kirtan. The Vedic hymn, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, can be chanted both softly to oneself or loudly. Therefore, it is called the Maha Mantra, or the Great Hymn. Kashyapa Muni appears to be an impersonalist. Comparing his character with that of Thakur Haridas, as referred to above, it is clear that the personalist is stronger in sense control than the impersonalist. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Param Drisva Nivartite, i.e., one ceases to accept lower grade things when one is situated in a superior condition. One is supposed to be purified after taking bath and chanting Gayatri, but the Maha Mantra is so powerful that one can chant loudly or softly in any condition, and he is protected from all the evils of material existence. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So, in this verse and translation and purport, it's mentioned upasprishya salilam, that either one touches or bathes in water to purify oneself. And that's something you see in other religions as well. I was raised in a Catholic family. I was raised in a Catholic family. And you know, when you go to the church, you know, the first thing is there's a bowl, kind of usually a stone bowl or something right next to the door, which has some sacred water in it. And you touch it and then touch it to your, you know, sort of purification thing. So this word upasprishya salilam, you know, touching or taking a bath in water, it comes up several times in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedic literature. You know, like if you search for upasprishya, you know, you'll see it comes up quite a bit. you know, for example, when Ashwatthama on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is going to manifest a Brahmastra weapon, so at first he touched water. Yeah, so that's so it's part of the Vedic culture to do that. But there are different results, like Srila Vyasadeva, he was meditating on the banks of the Saraswati River. And it stated that in the morning he touched water, upasprishya salilam. He touched water and was meditating, like Kashyapa Muni here is. You know, he's touching water or bathing, and then he's meditating. But whereas Kashyapa, he's meditating on the jyoti, the light, the Brahma jyoti. Vyasadeva was meditating on Purusham Param. When he meditated, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his illusory potency, his material energy. So, and actually, he was being instructed by Narada Muni, his spiritual master, to write this Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, to compose it. So he did that, and here we are today, still being inspired by it. And actually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's recording the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these pastimes involve his involvement on the spiritual level, but also in the world of our experience. So, you know, there's this account of Kashyapa Muni and Diti, their activities, which took place millions of years ago. But they were recorded in this transcendental literature, and today we're still being inspired by it. And it's pretty amazing. You know, there are so many authors in this world writing about so many things. But the other... immediately forgotten. So that's one point. Then the other point is that, and this was made particularly in the verse yesterday, that Kashyapa, at least in this moment, appears to be in a kind of impersonal state of mind, and his ability to control his senses was less than that of Haridas Thakur, who was totally focused on the holy names of Lord Krishna, you know, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, so much so He was absorbed in that way that he was able to resist the temptations of Maya herself. So that's another point that's mentioned in the purport here. Also mentioned is this ability to control speech. Vachavegam, manasakrodavegam, jivavegam, udarapastavegam, etanvegam, yovishahetadira, sarvamapimam, prativimyasasyashyat. That if one can control, you know, the urge to speak and the other urges of the senses, then one is qualified to make disciples all over the world. That's stated in the Upadeshamrita of Rupa Goswami. So, you know, that's an important aspect of devotional service, to be able to control the senses. A Sanskrit word for the senses, one is go. Like Goswami means one who's able to control the senses. Or Swami also means to be able to control. So that's very important. And among the senses is Udara Upashta, you know, the belly and the organs for reproduction. So we can see in this account of Kashyapa and Diti that they were having some difficulty in controlling that aspect of their lives. Just kind of taking a broader view of the whole pastime, you know, we learned that Diti was overwhelmed with desire, and therefore she began approaching her husband, Kashyapa. And he told her, well, yes, you want to have a child and do what's necessary to accomplish that. And as your husband, I'm willing to do that, but right at the present moment, at this hour, it's a very inauspicious time because Lord Shiva is about with his ghostly companions. But she doesn't want to wait. But it's not like just one is being blamed or has the responsibility, because Kashyapa, he also knows, well, this is inauspicious, it's not the right time for this kind of thing. But he says, what can I do? And it's stated that he just leaves it up to fate, to destiny. He just surrendered, all right, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And it turns out that Diti, after, you know, they've had concourse, she becomes a little bit worried. You know, now what's going to happen? You know, Shiva, he notices he's easily angered, although, you know, she could tell that she was already pregnant. You know, she was going to have a child or children. And she was worried because I really shouldn't have done this. Like Shiva, he's easily angered. He's also easily pleased, but he's easily angered. And he may be a little bit angry with me for having done this, and maybe he'll do something that will be bad for my children. So she kind of approached her husband, Kashyapa Muni, and said, do something, you know. And he said, well, because basically the first thing is he tried to blame her. He said, look, I told you we shouldn't do this. You made me do it. You know, you wouldn't listen to my instruction. But then he kind of condemned himself as well. You know, like, all right, you know, I did this, and now we're going to have to see. But he told her, yeah, you're going to have two sons. They're going to be great demons. They're going to cause all kinds of trouble. They're going to raise hell, and they're going to make the great sages very angry. And, you know, and she said, well, he also told her, and then Krishna's going to come, you know, and he's going to have to come down especially to take care of them, and, you know, they're going to be killed. And she said, well, I'd rather that they be killed by Krishna than by the enraged brahmanas. And that's something that Shiva told Parvati once. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat paradharam devi tadiyanam samarchanam. That worship of Vishnu is great, but even greater than that is the worship of Krishna's devotees. So if Krishna's devotees become mad, that in her mind, that was worse than Krishna himself. So, all right. So because she had some faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because basically she was coming to her husband, you know, for a solution, he said, because of those good qualities that you do have, that yes, you're going to have these two demonic sons, but his son, one of them's son, Hiranyakashipu's son, will be a great devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. So it's kind of like, to me, one thing I was getting out of it is, you know, akamo sarvakamo va mokshakamo udharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param, that whether you're full of material desires or, you know, you're really got a pure desire for serving Krishna or you want to get liberated or whatever, the best thing is perform devotional service and some good will come out of it. There's not any loss. Svalpam apyasi dharmasya triyate mato bayat. That even a little advancement on the path of devotional service is one's permanent gain. And, you know, this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and the practice of devotional service goes in different stages. First, there's the enchanting, there's the offensive stage. That's why in the morning we chant the 10 offenses so we can be aware of them. So that means we're in the clearing stage, not the pure stage, but in the clearing stage. And if one persists in the clearing phase, although there may be so many ups and downs, one is making progress towards coming to the pure stage of chanting and participation in the eternal pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one can become awakened to one's eternal spiritual identity. So this stage of devotional service in terms of the nine stages outlined by Rupa Goswami would be anartha nivritti, becoming freed from the offenses and material attachments. And so that's one message I get from this whole pastime. Although Kashyapa and Diti, they're not at the perfect stage. They're making progress. You know, there's some result. And, you know, it takes some time, like for Diti and Kashyapa, although they get into this situation here in this, the third canto, you know, that this episode takes place. There's another episode that takes place later in the sixth canto. Of course, Kashyapa, he had several wives. It's kind of interesting. He was through with his children with Diti. He was the father of so many asuras. They're called sometimes the asuras. They're called daityas, which means the sons of Diti, who was the mother of many asuras. But he was also the husband of Aditi, the mother of the demigods, and fathered so many demigods through Aditi. And like so, but later, as I said in the sixth canto, there's another episode with Diti. She doesn't give it up, you know, like she's really attached to her two sons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And she was very upset when they were killed by Indra. Not really. They were killed by Krishna, who took the form of, in one case, Varaha, and in the other as Lord Nrisingadev to take care of Hiranyakashipu. And she felt like Vishnu or Krishna was acting on behalf of Indra. You know, so she was really fixated on Indra, saying he's just totally attached to his body. He's so proud. He thinks he's so great. I really can't forgive him for having been responsible for the killing of my son. You know, he had Krishna or Vishnu come to protect his false ego and his big position as the Lord of the demigods. So she wanted a child that would grow up and destroy him, destroy Indra, take him down. So she was fixated like that. And she decided, sort of like here, she decided, you know, she wanted to have these children, and she approached her husband. And as I said, he had admitted that it was his fault as well. But she approached him again and began serving him very nicely with sweet words. And he was influenced that. So he said, he was praising his wife in so many ways. You've been so helpful to me. You've been really good to me. You've helped me in so many ways. And you, what can I give you? And she said, I want a child that will kill Indra. So then he realizes, uh-oh, what am I going to do now? You know, I've promised her this benediction, and I have to give it to her, but I don't want Indra to be killed. I don't want that on me. So he decided, and, you know, he was criticizing himself also. It's not just blaming DT. You know, he's saying, okay, because I don't have any control of my senses, and I'm so bewildered by illusion, I get myself into these kinds of problems. So, but he figures out something. He said, if I engage Diti in some Vaishnava ritual, you know, then some good will come out of this. Maybe she'll make some advancement and she'll not do this. So he engages her in this Pumsavana Vaishnava ritual, because, you know, she asks him, she knows, she has faith in her husband. You know, she wants something from him, but she's still got some faith in him and is willing to listen to him. So he engages her in this ritual. Yes, if you want to have a child who will destroy Indra, then this is what you have to do. And among the things that she had to do, you know, were worship Vishnu, you know. And he said, if you do this for a year, you'll get what you want. If you don't do it, then you'll get the opposite of what you want. You know, not somebody who's going to be an enemy of Indra, but who'll be his ally. So she got into it. You know, she went out to the forest to meditate and perform the offerings to Lord Vishnu and everything. And Indra had learned what she was up to. So he came and pretended to be very friendly to her. You know, he began to help her in her activities, and you know, she had conceived. I mean, even before she began the ritual, she had already conceived a child with Kashyapa. So the child was in her womb growing. You know, she was just performing the ritual to make sure he turns out the way she wanted. But then Indra came and pretended to be her humble servant, getting the firewood for her and the water and everything she needed for the rituals. And she... He entered into her womb, you know, to destroy the child, because he figured if she goes ahead with all this, it'll be somebody who's going to cause trouble to me, so let me get rid of him right now. So he took his weapon. He went within her womb. He took his weapon. He said, I'll chop it up. So he chopped the embryo into seven pieces, and then cut each one into seven pieces. He thought this should take care of it. And actually each of the parts of the body became a demigod, you know, because she had been performing these Vaishnava rituals and had become advanced, and so her child had become a devotee as well. So when he cut them into 49 parts, they turned into 49 demigods, the Maruts, instead of, you know, one demon being born. You know, like, she got 49 demigod sons. So they actually reconciled, you know, because Didi was really surprised. You know, said, I asked for one son, I've got 49. And they've turned out like this. How is that? So Indra kind of explained to her, well, because we were engaged in these Vaishnava rituals, you were, and I was helping you, somehow or other, Krishna has made it. So they kind of reconciled, at least for the moment. And those 49... demigods, the Maruts, were born in that way. And as far as Kashyapa is concerned, you know, he eventually, in his next life, he becomes Vasudeva, father of Krishna. And his other wife, Aditi, becomes Devaki. So in the process of devotional service, you know, we in the clearing stage, we may still have material desires, and occasionally there can be some problems that come up. But if one is sincere and remains on the path of devotional service, then those discrepancies will gradually be cleared away, and one can come to the platform of pure devotional service, which is, you know, the objective. Okay, so I'll stop there. Glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Because of offenses to the holy name.